Bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.
Hello, welcome to the Mac Show.
Yes, we're here, we're back. Awfully sorry about blipping out last week, but all well and good now. Tooth's fixed and the pain's gone. Thank you, Tramadol. Love you.
We almost had a chance to have the Keith Moon edition of the show. It's too bad you didn't do it like on the painkillers.
Oh, man. No,
I'm just saying that the Who would not have used that as an excuse.
Okay.
They would have just fallen off the drum kit right in the middle of Sister Disco.
You're right. Absolutely right, Andy. But to be fair, I got the Tramadol after showtime, not before. So
for everybody?
Yeah. No. Sorry. I've got to say, I'm out of Tramadol now, so if I find any, I'll be keeping it. There won't be any freebies. I love that stuff.
The Gregory House of the podcast, Mac Podcast, podcasting world. Yeah.
Give me Vicodin. I also put the big show out on the Mac Show feed because I felt guilty we got no show. And a few people wrote in asking what the hell was going on, even though the show description described what was going on. But a lot of people wrote in and said, wow! Didn't know the big show was that good. So they've listened to it. One did write in and said that he didn't listen to the big show because he thought it was about Windows. And a few people echoed that. And then someone else said, wow, the big show is really good. It's just like the Mac show, but without the Mac. Cool. Someone said it's without the annoying bloke Green as well, but we'll come back to that. Joining me to discuss the week's Macintosh news, and God, we've got a great bit that's just started off. It's hot off the press. We've got Dom McAllister. How you doing, sir?
Glad to see you're feeling better now.
Yeah, I'm good, mate. No worries at all. How's your week been? Because I gather that dancing on the ceiling really applies to you.
Yeah, I had a bit of an accident yesterday with the... unfortunately, it transpires the waste pipe from my bathroom sink detached itself.
Not waste. Mm-mm.
Yeah, it just came apart. So we had a few sinks of water accumulating in the roof till suddenly it decided it couldn't bear it no longer and came crashing through into the kitchen. So I had to go up there yesterday and pull some of the soaking wet plaster off. And as I pulled a piece off, right in my eye, didn't half hurt. Yeah, I was incapacitated for a few minutes, but managed to get all the grunge out.
Well, now.
Yeah, it's just a little bit shot. Luckily, I'm really lucky it didn't. Could have been a lot worse, but I'm fine now.
Good, man. Thank you so much. Sorry for messing you around last week, but very patient. And I also messed around Mr. Andy Anatko, who's kindly come back on this week instead. Cheers, buddy. Thanks ever so much.
Again, your health is your greatest asset, Ian.
Absolutely. That's all I've got left. How's your week been, pal?
Pretty damn good. I mean, it's I'm still like basically hip deep in iOS 6 and iPhone coverage, but I have found the occasional moment to watch season premieres here on American television. So I'm okay. I'm very much okay.
Good, man. Beneath him, from the unofficial Apple log, we've got Kelly Gamont. How you doing, girl? Nah, and her audio's gone. Where's your audio gone, Kelly? Hello.
Oh, that was me. I was muted for coffee earlier. Sorry.
Oh, we were enjoying the sound of your coffee.
No, I doubt it. Although I will let you know that I did upgrade to the Apple mug from the mothership. So there you go.
Is that an Apple Mac user group? No. Yeah. I've got a Mac user group in my house.
I don't keep them in my office.
Okay.
So, although it is a good idea to fill them with coffee. So.
Good girl. How's the feet?
Not bad. I'm out of the horribly ugly shoes. I still have to keep them elevated, but the stitches are out and everything looks like it's healing like it's supposed to. So at some point, I'll be able to walk around like a normal human being soon. I've never been more excited about shoes in my entire life.
Good. next to Kelly with the haunted house in the background. And this is a weird effect going on there as well. Mr. Green, how you doing, pal?
I'm very well, thank you very much. I'll tell you what. I've been full of cold, right?
Oh.
And I was listening to you all. You know when you can't hear out of one ear at all because of cold and stuff?
Yeah.
It suddenly went pop halfway through, and now I'm working on full stereo.
Way!
It's all right, isn't it?
We'll take that.
It's been like that for about 2 weeks now. Full stereo. Excellent.
Good man. Glad to have you with us. How's the week been?
Pretty good. Very busy. As normal. But yeah, pretty good.
Are you still not enjoying working for a living?
It is harsh, isn't it? It's something that I haven't been brought up to. It's never been my style of doing things, and it is a bit of a shock. But I'm coping with it.
Totally good.
Yeah.
And last, but by no means least, in the middle of the five, strange place, Mr. Carl Swagger.
Hello.
How you doing, mate?
I'm listening to the rain beat like hell.
Yeah, is that what that is? I thought it was an air conditioner.
No, that's the rain.
Jolly good. Now, can I trust you and Mr. Anatko not to fight this today, please?
Ow.
Last time you were on together, it broke into fisticuffs, and I'm not having it anymore, all right? Behave the pair of you. Otherwise, I'll separate you. You'll go where Greenie is.
Yes, Mummy.
On the feed.
Were we fighting?
I was promised a cage match.
No, it wasn't really a fight. It's just one of those girly spat things.
Because a fight is usually two-sided. You're right.
The week in Apple.
I went for the cheap joke. I'm sorry.
Good man. the week in Apple. Hot off the press. Tim Cook has issued an open letter relating to iOS 6. And oh, blimey. This is a bit good. At Apple, we strive to make world-class products that deliver our best experience possible for our customers. With the launch of our new Maps last week, we fell short on this commitment. It's basically said, yep, it's shite. That's what it says. It's got a few more words in, I guarantee you, and there's a few little bits in there. And he also recommends Bing, MapQuest, Waze, and Google or Nokia Maps, which you can get from the website and use as a web app, which I thought was very good of him.
Or to summarize, anything but Maps.
How much do you think it hurt for him to sit down and go, I guess we're going to have to suggest Bing?
When he signed it, someone else was holding his hand, I'm sure of it.
Yeah, because he needed one for his nose.
Yeah, I mean, I've got to say, I put in the docs, does everyone hate Maps? And it seems that Tim Cook realises that he hates Maps as well. I mean, why has Maps been such... I mean, it kind of kicked off while I was in A&A last week. The tweets started coming in about how Maps sucked. I've got to say, we'll have a chat in a second about iOS 6 in general, because they've got a couple of issues with it. But, I mean... where have they gone wrong with Maps? What seems to be the gut feeling of everyone that's so upset with it?
It's just, I think that the problem is just that it's such a yes or no functional thing, and it's one of the features that everybody uses. So it's like, imagine that the iPhone were perfect except for the power switch came to a very, very sharp point. It doesn't matter how good the rest of the thing is, this one thing fails. So the first thing people do when they use Maps is, I'm going to look at my local area. And when they notice that, wait, there are like a million landmarks I don't see here. And then the next thing they do is, well, okay, I'll use it to navigate someplace to my office or to my house or to the bakery cafe of which there are, to the coffee shop, the Dunkin' Donuts of which there are like 30 within walking distance of my house. And oh, so when I tell it to take me to the nearest Dunkin' Donuts, it tries to send me 18 miles away instead of telling me to just look out my window. It's not like a performance feature where you can say, oh, well, I did 81 benchmarks. I noticed that this is 12% better than before. No, it either works or it doesn't. When it doesn't work, it's obvious that it doesn't work. And sometimes when it doesn't work, it sends you to the 9mm handgun district part of town and not to the Episcopal church that you're hoping that was going to direct you to.
We don't have those. We're missing those.
Dunkin' Donuts? Oh, my God.
No,
they have bagels. They have bakery sandwiches.
No, I'm talking about
Wi-Fi. It's wonderful. Wait till you get Dunkin' Donuts over there.
No, we got that. It's the 9mm regions of town.
Oh, you got them.
We don't have those. We don't. No, there's no 9mm. They're knives, but there's no 9mm. Anyone else?
I'm surprised because I know that there are people who have legitimate problems with Maps, but there's a couple of things that I've noticed with that. And the first is Maps has improved just since I've been running iOS 6, which has been about 3 weeks, maybe a month now. And as I was using Maps, I noticed it improve more and more. And I'm really surprised that Andy was having issues in the Chicago area because I figured that would be a much more updated place than what Portland is, but I never see it being an issue. And so I've used a lot of turn-by-turn. We're house hunting at the moment, so I put in addresses all the time and have to try and route around things, and I haven't had any kind of problem navigating it. I have seen where people in other countries, like all you guys, may be having more issues or other sorts of navigational trouble, but I haven't seen it on our side. And in fact, over on Tuwa, one of our guys said that his next phone is going to be an Android phone because of this. And the comments have been all helpful, constructive, even-handed comments. I guarantee it.
Because Apple users have such thick skins and such a good sense of humor about criticism.
Well, yeah, that too. But mostly it's the thing that has really irked me about it is that, and this was the thing I tried to talk to him about before the post went up, was you just maybe can't get one. Maybe it's not the best move for you to get one today or to go to iOS 6 today. But in a month or two, there's a very good chance that it's going to be dramatically better because apparently nobody remembers that if you got an iPhone 3G and left the 3G on and hit the little arrow on the maps for it to show you where you were in Google Maps, for everyone in Portland, it was showing us in the middle of East Texas.
Yeah, but I mean, hang on. An alpha improves in a couple of months, not a finished product.
I think that's where the problem is, though, isn't it? I mean, maps is hard. I mean, to create a complete mapping infrastructure, back-end, front-end, integration with iOS for the world. I mean, you know, it's not a trivial task. I think that the main mistake they've made is not to accept, sort of set people's expectations correctly. I mean, when we
should have called it beta.
It was terrible. You know, it was really horrible, the maps, and they've been improving. The 10x10 works where I live, but you know, in other regions, you know, your mileage may vary. But they just didn't set expectations. They should have been upfront with people and said, "Look, you know, this is the enormity of the problem we're trying to address. This is how much work's involved. So, you know, we're going to phase it in." And be brilliant.
I mean, there's comments in the chat room here. Teresa said she used it in Houston and it worked flawlessly. So there's another place that it does work if you want to go there. Gary says that I used turn by turn last night and I went into an area with no service on my phone and turn by turn continued flawlessly. I turned the phone off and back on and it continued just fine. I was really surprised. Which is an excellent thing. And Teresa says, Kelly Duncan was born in Boston. They're on every street corner.
We don't have any in Oregon. And it
so Duncan is actually the name of the person that owns it. It's not dunking in the coffee.
No, it is. It's Duncan. It's Duncan, D-U-N-K-I-N, Duncan, because it's like dunking, but without the G.
Why didn't you put an S on it? Dunkin's Donuts. Never
mind. I don't know.
Irrelevant. But
their ad slogan right now, which is the other reason that sometimes living in Oregon is a bummer, is because you get ads for stuff that you don't have. Their slogan at the moment is America runs on Duncan. So, yeah. So Andy says they have 30, and now I'm just sad because I don't have any.
Yeah. Now, the only person that's really in a position to talk about whether turn-by-turn works in the extreme environment is Carl Swagger, because turn-by-turn in Manila, mate, must be... Have you tried it?
Forget. Oh no, I've tried it. It sucks. It's
terrible. Now, is that Apple's fault or Manila's fault?
Oh no, I think it's a little bit of both because there's just, I mean, even with Google Maps over here, it's you can never really rely on the turn by turn or anything of such. But the thing about it is, though, is what struck me most is the actual software is living up to its icon. It literally will tell you to go off a bridge.
Wow.
It's terrible. I mean, it is a complete Apple fail. And I'm surprised to see the letter from Tim Cook. I think it's actually good on him. They're really owning up to it. I don't think Jobs ever would have if he was in the driver's seat, you know, or should I say.
He would have just said you're navigating wrong.
Right. I mean, think about the way they responded to the antenna situation, where you hold the phone the way that a normal person would, and you can see the bars of connectivity fade down to one, and they did not see that as a problem. I mean, I didn't think that they would do this, but I was half expecting that they're going to take a select 40 different journalists on a tour of the used to be top secret maps lab on the Apple campus to show them that actually no, the maps is working fine. It's just that people had the wrong expectations for what it was supposed to do. And by the way, and here's a rubber band we'll give you if you're going to keep whining about it that will help make maps work better. So this was a necessary. I'm glad they took what was a necessary step, which was to say, really say all the things that we've been saying for the past 5 minutes here, and things that they really should have said earlier on. Remember, Siri itself, they had no qualms about saying it's a beta. It's not going to work exactly the way we think. We hope it will. But the only way to get it perfect is to start putting it into hands of users. When I had my first briefing with Apple on Bing, that wasn't just like marketing hype. That wasn't just things that people were saying on blogs. That was Apple talking to me specifically and saying that, you know, there's some things it's going to do very, very well. There are things that it's going to have to learn about, but we want to get in people's hands sooner rather than later. One very last thing. I do think that it's a different the performance of maps from person to person. It does depend on community to community, but it also depends on how people use it. From the first day, I felt as though it worked very, very well if you gave it a specific address. It's only when you start to use it the way that you use pretty much every other map solution, when you say, take me to the Dunkin' Donuts in Norwood, Massachusetts, that it starts to fail, or take me to the nearest post office, because the only Dunkin' Donuts it knows of is the one 18 miles away. It does not know of the one that's a mile and a half away. It doesn't know that there's a post office just about four blocks away. So that's where it starts to screw you up. And also, a lot of the POI information was, you know, POS. I was walking through Boston and very refreshed to find out that the public garden, a 20-acre horticultural garden, was actually in the middle of a multi-story mall in downtown Boston. It's like, oh, great. It's right there next to the Barnes & Noble bookstore. Okay, I'm here. How pastoral.
I mean, you can use it with Siri to get your locations. You're saying it doesn't necessarily get the best route, but if you give it a specific location via Siri,
not in a location, an address. If you give it actual, it's only when you say take, you know, for a fact that there is a Dunkin' Donuts in Norwood, Massachusetts. Every other system, you can simply say navigate to Dunkin' Donuts in Norwood, Massachusetts, and will take you to either that one or the four others that are on that 2-block area. Siri, or even just if you use the actual search box in Maps, it will basically take you to the nearest one that it knows of, and that could be many, many miles away. Or the data it have could be completely wrong. Another thing that it was very illuminating when you actually just enlarge the map and zoom in and start to look neighborhood by neighborhood at the world as the Maps app thinks it to be. I told you about the 20-acre garden that was in the middle of a shopping mall. There was also the Kohl's department store, which is a large, like, clothes, you know, where you take kids for back school clothes. Large department store in the middle of like a 2-story residential home. Like, okay. Ding dong. Hi, I need tube socks.
Is that a Yelp failing though, or is that a mixture of the two? Maps failing, but
no one cares. Okay. No one cares whether it's Yelp's problem, whether it's Apple's problem. The fact that the thing has Apple's logo on it means that it's their problem. They gave me a map that doesn't work, and when I wrote about it, I felt as though the discussion has to have two important points. Number one, Maps does not work and cannot be trusted as it is right now. But two, it's going to be better. It already started to get better because there's a link right there in the app where you can report a problem. And they fixed the problem of the public garden so quickly that 2 days, 3 days later, when I wanted to get a better screenshot of the problem on my iPad, it had already been fixed. So Gaz will get better. It is getting better.
Gazmaz in the chat room says, we've now got a local park that's turned into a lake magically. Mind you, knowing where that is, that might not be a bad thing.
Your property values have just gone up. You've got lakeside property. Thank you, Apple. Woo!
iOS 6 then. iOS 6 has come out with a significant increase in iCloud support, allegedly. And there's lots of people saying lots of things about it that aren't particularly good as well. There's a bag of hurt being talked about with iTunes Match and iOS 6, where it basically takes all your songs and it accumulates them in the phone, and there is no way to delete them from your phone. So effectively, if you've got a big iTunes Match library, you could virtually fill your phone and not get anything else on there. And also, there's been a customer survey, and people are not as happy with iOS 6 as they were with iOS 5 and 4 when they were released. I've got to say, I had an iOS... When I had my 4S, I've never dropped... I mean, I've dropped my 4S, but I've never dropped a call in as long as I've had it. So that's 8 months of iPhone 4S, no drop calls. I put iOS 6 on it. I'm dropping 5 calls a day on this regularly. And I'm going through areas of London where you've got full 3 coverage in there, and I'm dropping calls. This thing drops calls since the iOS 6 change. That's the only step change that there's been. And again, I know they're going to improve it and stuff like that, but you don't expect to go from good battery life, good call reception that you get at iOS 5 to iOS 6, suddenly, you know, bad battery life, bad phone reception. You know, that can't happen. I mean, you can't pass that off as beta or, oh, it's teething trouble.
Well, the thing is, though, you can't. The problem with all these sort of issues that people have is you can't say it across the board. I mean, it's different people have experiences, and it's really hard to
one device, one iOS, and different experiences across the board. That doesn't help the conversation. I wouldn't have thought though, Don.
But you know, again, everyone seems to have a different experience on different parts of the OS. I mean, from my experience, I've literally had no problems. And all the tweets I've been seeing were really focused on maps and very little about anything else, to be honest. Unless you go looking for these, you know, sort of issues that people have. But, you know, I understand what you're saying. But, I mean, I don't use mine as a phone anyway, so it's no problem to me.
I wonder if these are issues, though, that we're seeing to do with actually with the software, say, on the 4 or the 4S. Now, are we seeing more issues to do with those devices than say the new iPhone 5, because that would be the interesting part about it. If it's the same issues, in other words, people are saying, well, this, you know, the drop calls or whatever, is that just something that's standard on the 4 or the 4S, but you're not seeing the same thing on the 5?
I don't know. Has anyone got experience of drop callage?
No, I've been testing the 5, the 4S, and the 4 side by side by side, and I haven't been seeing that problem.
Okay, so it could be a carrier issue then, I suppose.
Will, have you put that sounds like Jobs. It's a carrier issue.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But every time we get an iOS upgrade, isn't there some, you know, however it's sliced up, isn't there always some contingent of people whose battery life just drops through the floor? It seems like that tends to be the case.
I mean, that happened with me the very first day I had my iPhone 5. Battery life was awful, but now after I've charged it a couple of times, it's spectacular. It's much better than the old phone used to be. So again, you know, teething troubles and things settling down with calibration on the phone, stuff like that.
Jenks in the chat room wants to know if my dropped callage is linked to my dropped phoneage. Bastard.
You know, I will say something very good about the OS, though. It's extremely fast. Even on my old 4, it's extreme. I've noticed a really speed improvement on it.
Good.
Well, I was using it for the week before it was released. I was using it on an iPhone 3GS, and I was absolutely amazed at just how usable it was. It was incredible. And I know we did have a problem. I don't know if it was iOS 4 or 5 on the older iPhones, and you know, it would hardly run. But iOS 6 on the 3GS, it was amazing.
Will, have you put it on your 3GS?
I have, and it works brilliantly. Oh, well, second, Don. There's a few things. I struggle a bit with the old maps thing. My plan is only a tenner a month, and it doesn't include any data. And if I do want to include data, I have to wait 2 or 3 days to buy a bolt on, and so I never bother. So I just use for my maps Navigon or locally based map stuff. So I haven't really come across the map thing. I've had a quick look at it. The Routy thing seems all right, but the satellite thing, it reminds me just of when Google originally released their maps for the iPhone back in the iPhone 1. So I think we've probably been a bit too harsh on Apple. It's Dunne said that, you know, there is a lot of work to build something from scratch, isn't there? Which is, I'm amazed they didn't just buy somebody, though. With all that money.
Well, they did, though, didn't they?
Did they? Well, they obviously bought the wrong company, didn't they? I mean, if I got lots of money, I wouldn't buy the shit one, would you? Which they obviously went for. But so that's the first thing. Second thing, I found battery life is great. It's made a really significant difference. It really has helped my 3GS. And finally, the speed, yeah, it's a lot faster. And I also like when you make a telephone call, the little numpad's white. I like that. It's nice.
The chat room saying, Bookery saying he didn't expect that iOS 6 would run better on the 3GS, but it is. And Gazma's saying that his life's gone down, battery life's gone down on iOS 6 is worse. So you're saying it's gone up, I'd say my battery life is at least the same or perhaps a little bit better on the iPhone 4S. So
my battery life is worse.
Oh, yours is worse, right?
Mine's much worse. And I'm noticing a lot of problems with notifications, too.
Like what?
Like Gmail for some reason now, when it's not notifying me. I'm noticing also that the Wi-Fi wants to just switch off. Especially if it goes into standby mode, it just goes off. Mm. So all this is telling me that when the iPhone 5 is released here, yeah, I'll buy it.
But the whole thing with battery life, I do wonder. I mean, the battery life is two parts, isn't it? One is sort of the physical battery and how much the OS is taking out of the battery. But the second part of it is how the OS is reporting the battery life. And the previous version, iOS 5, I think, especially from the 3GS anyway, there was inaccuracies about how it reported the battery life.
There was a lot of complaints about that. It would go down and then all of a sudden, whoomp, it would be gone.
Yeah, whereas the iOS 6 seems to report on the battery life a lot more accurately, and that's all you want, really, isn't it?
That's a good point. Yeah, I've had those problems in previous OSs. That's a good point, actually, Will, where it's been like, it's 80%.
Yes, it is a good point, isn't it?
Yes, it is, Will. Mwah, mwah, Will. Mwah.
There's also things that get turned on in iOS 6 that, just like in iOS 5, when everybody went, I thought my battery life was supposed to improve, and it really, really hasn't, you know, and has done the opposite. A lot of times, like the location awareness in reminders is something that's a big battery hit that a lot of people weren't using before and didn't anticipate. So it may be something like that that's causing some people to have battery issues. I'm not trying to tech support like the internet, but that's something that sometimes people aren't aware of, is walk through the settings for the new stuff and see what it tells you, because it might be really illuminating. And when at one point I was doing IT and doing iOS deployments in my previous job, and people would come in and go, you told me I could update my phone, and I updated my phone, and now my battery doesn't last. And immediately, every single time, if I went right to location awareness and reminders, I said, do you use this? And they're like, don't even know what that is. And I would turn it off, and their battery life came right back. Yeah. So
one problem might be that their preferences that are on that used to be off. That the phone is no longer set up the way that you use it. Right. I did notice that my 4S, the GPS, the little dingus in the status bar for navigation almost never seemed to turn off, and that was something that I had to deal with until I just went through all the prefs and found out, oh, isn't that interesting? You have the waste battery setting to on. I want the waste battery setting to be turned off.
Mm. Oh, that's setting. Three things that I think are awesome in iOS 6 that I really like. I always said that one of the reasons I jailbroke my phone was because if I wanted to turn Bluetooth on and off because I'm concerned about my battery, it was 7 taps in and out again. I counted it once, and it was 7, and it just always irked me. Now, it's on the front screen of settings, so it's dramatically less. So that's half of a complaint gone away. And then the second one is that I always wanted time-based or location-based profiles for my phone. So, for example, if I had an office, when I was in the office, my phone could be on vibrate only, and then the rest of the time when I'm out and about, I can let everybody hear my TARDIS ringtone, and I don't care. And now at least there's do not disturb, so it won't go on and off overnight. You can turn it on for a meeting or for short term, but you can also schedule it. So like from midnight to 6, I get no notifications. And then also that you can set it up so that you are allowed calls. If somebody calls 2 times in 3 minutes or something, then your phone will actually ring. So if it's an emergency in the night, you'll know that someone's trying to reach you. I think is great. And then the third thing is not the do not disturb. Now I'm not remembering what the third thing is. I'm
sorry.
And I'll get back to you.
My list would have been exactly the same as yours. My third one would have been Passbook, because this is the thing that's going to make my life so much easier, because you have so many loyalty cards, you have so many boarding passes and tickets that before used to be my version of Passbook was the camera roll. Because the last thing I would do after getting my e-ticket would be to take a screenshot to make sure that thing would be available to me when I'm at the boarding gate. And so to have all of those inside one handy little app, and not only that, but to have the tickets wired into reminders so that 20 minutes before I'm about to board the plane, my lock screen becomes my boarding pass. Mm. That's an automatic feature, and that's the sort of thing that makes you think that whoever designed this phone, they were using the old noodle. That was good thinking happening throughout there. Yeah, I mean the iOS 6 is such a big win all across the board that when I wrote an entire column about maps, most of which was like, oh, sent me to the rendering plan instead of to the movie theater, and the rendering plan isn't nearly as fun as the movie theater they wanted to go to. Half of it was like critical of maps, but it did end by saying that there's so many advantages and so many really nice little features to iOS that I would not consider not upgrading even if I lose some of the maps functionality of iOS 5 to get it. It really is a solid thing.
But there's also a really cool thing in Maps. One thing I also really like, speaking of using the noodle, is the new swipe up options you have on a phone call. So if somebody, not that any of you guys have my phone number, but if one of you guys called me, I would have the little swipe up here, and then I could choose, like, do I want to text you back? I have some options available that I can tell you. Like, I can text you, I'm in a meeting right now, I'll call you later, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And that,
how
I think,
did you
is
get
really
my number?
Cool. depending like who it is.
The fact Kelly started off there, and I expected to say, not that I'd let you guys have my phone number.
I couldn't afford the pay-as-you-go charges anyway, personally.
I'd give it to Andy. He'd just never call me. One thing I really like about Maps is when you tap on the location, it always gives you this as the top option, which is current location to home. And I'm sure you guys can't see it in my screen.
Tilt
there.
It forward a bit.
But let's see if that works. But that is something that I think is brilliant, and I really love. And of course, it's totally not going to work because I'm not on high quality streaming right now. But it says current location to home, and then it gives you your recent searches. So if you're going around and making three or four stops that you needed routed, you can always go and you could scroll through your history before. But I love that the top option is always current location to home, because I think that's something that I've probably used lots and lots and lots and lots. And so to have it as an option, so I can just tap it once instead of having to scroll through or start typing my address so that it catches it, I love that. I think that's really great.
Okie doke.
And I also like that the turn by turn, the directions are bigger. The big green sign with the road sign for the directions, I think that's great. It's easier to read when I'm actually navigating.
Chat room is saying about podcasts, because you've now got to use the podcast application. You can't use the media player anymore. And I think that's a bag of hurt, because it's a piece of crap.
That's one of those rare, categorically stupid decisions where oftentimes you see there's a reason saying, oh, well, the problem is that there's this new API that refuses to allow this, that, and the other. And then you say, okay, I guess I understand why you made that decision. I don't see any problem. I don't see that kind of a solution here. And although I have to begrudgingly admit that I've been learning to like the podcasts app. It's like you can no longer use this tool that you've always used that forces you to make. Oh, but wait. What I have to say is I've been begrudgingly learning to like podcasts a little bit, but the problem is that I have playlists that involve podcasts. I have an entire playlist that consists of the individual greatest podcast episodes of all the podcasts I've been subscribing to for the past 2 or 3 years. So if I don't have a good new show to listen to, I can dip into this playlist and get this wonderful 2-hour interview with the screenwriter of The Usual Suspects. And that's going to be a great show. Now I go to that playlist and, oh, it's empty. We ask Apple why. Oh, that's because you can't play playlists inside the music player app. It all has to be done inside the podcast app. Mm. And that is just that's arbitrary and that's stupid.
Apparently,
I'll call you out and say that's stupid.
Apparently, Pete in the chat room says you can delete the podcast application, and then that'll get you back to using the media player as normal.
So if you delete the podcast app and then resync, you will get your playlist
just
back.
Just talk amongst yourselves, because the first thing I'm going to do while I think about that is delete the frigging podcast application. I hate it.
Oh, that reminds me. I remember what my third thing is. Search results. There's, if you have an app in a folder and you go to the search screen and you search for it, it shows you what the folder is that the app is in, which it didn't used to do. So if you lost an app in a folder, then you had to just go and go through every single folder or only ever use the find in order to do it. So that was my third thing, was that at least it'll tell you now where that app got off to. And now I'm going to go delete podcasts too.
There we go. See, everyone's just, we're going to pause
title,
it, pause, delete the podcast
us,
app.
Let us all pray as we delete just, the podcast.
And while I'm at it, before I forget this too, Andy, I want to know what podcast that is, because I would really like to listen to a 2-hour interview with the screenwriter of The Usual Suspects.
It is phenomenal. It's a defunct podcast called Creative Screenwriting. And the creative screenwriting podcast, where he would have the writers of a recent or late movie, they would screen the movie in front of 400 people that interviewed the guy for like anywhere from an hour to like 2 hours. And I will say it's not, this particular podcast is not still up, but if you Google for it, you can find a link to it somewhere. If not, I will probably, if you could be nice enough to post an offsite backup of this MP3 file in case there's a fire at my house that destroys all of my computers and my backups and my iCloud backups and my Dropbox backups.
See, that's a workaround right there. That's a workaround. Exactly.
I would gladly be the offsite.
Legal as anything. Back. Yes.
Yes.
Lightning connector. Now, we've had the lightning connector finally hit and people got it, pulling it apart and all that kind of stuff. It's just a cable. Who knew?
Oh my God, it's wires. It's filled with wires.
It's just a cable.
What are all these wires doing?
Apple, you thieving bastards. It's just a cable.
Yes. No, but it's a magic cable.
No, it's just a cable.
It's a magic cable, Ewan. Tim, open up your heart to magic.
Tim.
You live in the world of Harry Potter. Why have you turned your soul against magic?
Tim Dick Turpin Cook.
$30,
has stolen my freaking money.
Or do you, that's okay. You can just listen to your, iPod through the speakers of the iPhone rather than through your car stereo. I'm sure the battery will last.
This thing has got a name that ties it up with the Thunderbolt Lightning. Oh, cool. What does it do? It connects your phone to your computer.
What more?
No, I wanted some magic. I wanted some speed. I wanted some oomph. I want something for the future.
Something for 15 quid.
It's just a cable. And it's not a very good cable. It falls out.
It's a mixture.
It does intelligent dynamic switching. You mean you can turn it the other way around? For Christ's sake, it's a cable.
No, the pins reconfigure themselves depending on what it's doing, allegedly, for the future.
Fanboy suckered right there.
It's a nice cable.
Oh, by the way, we've got something for Don.
Oh.
This is the Brettford Power Sync cart for iPad. Now, it's not just one iPad. As you can see, there's a MacBook Pro on the top there. This is a cart for 30 iPads. And it will sync. Now, I reckon this is complete and utter bull. Because, number one, how can you sync 30 iPads when you're only allowed 10 devices on one account?
Apple configurator?
It's the configurator, yeah.
Oh, bugger. All right, okay, so you got me there, fair enough. All right, I agree it's feasible. This is a cabinet on wheels with slots for 30 iPads. It must get really frigging hot in that cabinet for a start, and you can put your laptop on the top with a rubber bit. It's £2,700. So that's $4,000 for this thing. More than.
Mm-hmm.
That is overpriced by £2,500.
It's a difficult one because I've done quite a bit of work with configuration and stuff like that and schools and things, and they do have a big problem with people wandering off with the iPads.
And one's
going to say about configurator, a cunning tip that a lot of people don't know is if you configure, so you've got the sort of initial bit where you sort of turn it on the iPad really, and you can apply if you want to some sort of image or profile at that point and install apps, and then you get point two or the second stage where you actually manage the device, which is all good, but when you manage the device you cannot configure the individual apps and stuff. But if you do a backup, so get a single iPad, configure it all like you want with change the screen brightness or go into a particular app and configure it exactly like you want, and then back it up. And what that does then is basically images, doesn't totally image, but it sort of images the iPad, and then you can deploy that image to your multiple iPads. And it's a sort of a nice halfway house between sort of the sort of on-the-fly configuration and it works well for a school or something like that. Anyway, good. Was that a bit boring?
Well, no, it's fine. That's good. Thanks, mate. Really appreciate that explanation. Configurator is good.
I should point one thing out though, in response to anyone's complaints, I do recommend that people go out and buy the rack mount system that Ewan actually created and is selling, because less expensive, it's not as hot inside there. I'm sure it's better than every single way, the one that you yourself designed and are selling.
It's just over here. Funny you mentioned it, Andy. Yes, I'll put a link in the chat room for where you can buy that. Now, the only problem we've got is that there's only two options here. Andy and Atco's got a review unit. I don't think so. Or Don's bought one, which is probable. No? You haven't bought one?
No.
So you got 30 cables floating around.
No, I'm not a school, you know.
No, you're just a man with a lot of iPads. Oh, well.
I
need that cabinet so bad, says Paul Ums. That's for his workplace, I'm thinking, though. So.
I don't think it is overpriced. I think that's I wouldn't say reasonable. It is probably, it's on the higher end, but I think it's okay.
Oh, no. Greedy's turned into Don McAllister. He's going to buy it.
But working with schools and businesses and stuff and doing iOS deployment, there's a lot of people making these cabinets, and they're pretty shite, really, because they haven't got... they're not powering the things up. They haven't got any built-in coughs like that.
Oh. Would you like a lozenge or an expectorant?
I vote shite's not a word I have to bleep anymore because it's been in there too much already. While Greeny chokes, the sock has gone from the online store. You cannot buy the iPod sock anymore. I love these things.
Yeah,
is that the winner of the Death March? These things were brilliant. You bought them in a pack of six, and they fitted your iPhone. You can get your iPhone in them absolutely perfectly. I'm sure they're going to be a bit short for the new iPhone 5, which is why they've gone. But the other thing that was brilliant about these is when you bought them, you immediately lost them, but you lost them all in different places. And every time you went to your cupboard out, you'd find one of these things and go, "Oh, that's where the purple one went." But then you'd lose it again.
It sucks.
Sorry?
You actually bought one of these socks?
No, you bought all six. You got a pack of six.
It was a set.
It was £15. You got a little pack of knitted socks, and they fitted the iPhone right up to the four. You could put your stuff in it. But they were, like I said, you always lost them. No one knows where they are. No one's kept... I guarantee you there isn't a single person on the planet that has all six socks in the same location unless they've never opened the box.
Unless you had triplets. You had baby triplets.
Yeah, they did
fit for a sock deal
with no ankles.
With no ankles.
I have to say, at the threat of child abuse allegations from the local county council, I did actually put them on a list. So that when he was a baby.
Mm. My problem with them is that I would not want like one to get like sort of like lost somewhere in the house, or especially like in like my laundry room or the bedroom, because if someone came across it, they'd say, "Andy needs to get very specific parts of his body warm. I don't know why that is."
I don't think you're selling yourself.
They weren't long enough for that.
Because they're quite small, aren't they?
I'm talking very specific.
Chat room's gone off on one. Does Ellis have 6 feet then? No, he doesn't. Thank you. Is that a six pack of socks? And they'll be on eBay for $100 soon, says Jinx. There you go. Apparently, if you miss them, there's a pack. Oh, never mind. Okay.
It's amazing, though. I think we actually found one Apple product. We found one Apple product that Don doesn't have.
Or didn't know about as well.
But let's be honest, they've been in the store for a really long time.
Yeah. Too cheap.
Yeah, I was actually there when Steve Jobs introduced it during an iPod event at the end of which we got a concert by U2. So, but what I remember most of all of those is that even Steve seemed to have a little bit of a smirk on his face when he introduced these things. Like, yeah, we know these are stupid, but you know, go screw yourself. We think they're fun.
Use the iPod Hi-Fi as well, or was that another?
Yes.
Oh, iPod Hi-Fi.
See, Paul agrees with me in the chat room. They're too cheap for Don. That's why you've missed him. sort by highest price first.
I love my iPod Hi-Fi. It's brilliant. Very underrated, I think.
Don keeps cutting out every time anyone else talks.
Oh.
Don't know why. It happened to Alex during the... But he was on Kelly's line, and Kelly's not doing that, so I think it must be at your end. You've updated your Skype and not had the fader thingy gone. Right. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2.net. They're brill. We love them. They're awesome. They've supported us for 3 years, and they're supporting us for another two already. So we really love them to bits. If you'd like to get anything to do with the web, domains, VPS, VPN, there's a site builder application which you can buy off them for £2 a month. And basically, you can get a web page up in under a minute. It's fantastic. You can go to the web page, or to their web page, you can order yourself a domain with basic hosting, 50 email addresses, and the site builder application. And after it's cleared and you've got your account set up, within a minute, you can have a website up and running. They're absolutely brilliant. Go to our website first, britishtechnetwork.com, and then click through from the banner that you've got. It'll open in a separate tab. Then go back to sponsors, get all the codes off there, finish your basket off, put all the codes in, get 20% off domains. No one does 20% off domains. I bought domain yesterday for 20% off. I got a .co.uk for 2 years, and I got a .com for £10. That's it. Brilliant. Love them to bits. Please support them. Don't be going with anyone else, because they're absolutely brilliant. And the other thing is as well, like, unlike other places that do sexier adverts, you get customer support with UK2, which doesn't give away your password. So, there you go. Right, have we got any cool things? Mr. McAllister, we should all remain perfectly quiet during your cool thing, because otherwise we won't hear it.
I've just switched a setting in Skype, yeah, but we'll see anyway. But right, my cool thingy for this week is Camera Plus.
Ooh.
No pinch it. They've just brought out a version for the iPad. The separate versions is an iPhone version and an iPad version. But you might think, well, why would I want a camera application on my iPad, even though, you know, there is a built in. The nice thing is they have got iCloud syncing for the Lightbox. So when you take a photo with Camera Plus, you can, rather than save it to the camera roll, you can save it to its own internal Lightbox, and then you can edit the photo in the Lightbox and then save it to the camera roll. Well, now you can actually sync it using iCloud so that your photos in your Lightbox appear on your iPad, and you can use a much bigger screen, and it's really nice. Actually, it's a very, very nice app. But and I've not seen a camera app specifically for the iPad before. I'm sure there must be a couple out there. But, I mean, Camera Plus is, I think they've sold 9 million copies of Camera Plus for the iPhone. So now you can get it for the iPad as well. It's on offer for 99 cents or 69p.
Yeah, it's only today, I think it is, isn't it? It's not on for long, if it is. So yeah. There we go.
Get it quick.
Cool. Excellent. Good pick, sir. Thank you very much. Mr. Natco, do you have anything for us?
Just a quickie. I one of these sad little people who plays one of these little things, and because I'm not very, very good at it, I'm never able to remember like how a chord should be worked and played. And I'll see a chord on a chart. Say, what is a diminished G minor flat, and what is that thing next to that thing? There are a lot of apps out there for helping you play guitars and string instruments. I found the one that will end my search for a good one forever. It's called Guitar Toolkit. It's not cheap. It's $10, which is not cheap by iOS standards, but it has every tool that you would really want. It has a metronome, it has a tuner, it has a chord database and a chord chart. It can even export once you've picked out, okay, you download tabs for songs. We'll say, okay, if you want to play Hey Jude, it's E flat, it's G, there's a C, there's an F major diminished. You can essentially look at those up and then simply ask a Guitar Toolkit, could you please just like print me out a chart that has these five chords mapped out for me. All these really cool little tools. Not only that, though, but it's also really, really well designed. It looks fantastic. So it doesn't look like one of these basement garage type of things. So $10, not cheap, but at least it will help you to, you know, figure out how to do Hey Jude.
No, it's good.
In case Sir Paul performs at another closing ceremony. Oh, so
God,
he's booked for the closing ceremonies of my backyard barbecue as I retire the grill next weekend. So all my relatives going na 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 na.
I really hope not, because there'll be a sniper in your locale, no doubt, if he is.
If only if I'm lucky.
I think there's been a collection, actually, on the internet for to pay a hitman to get rid of Paul McCartney next time he sings Hey Jude. At least if there is, I'd have donated.
It is.
My PayPal address is... Take all you
want. That's stone cold proof that even the greatest song ever recorded, you'll get sick of it if they play it way too much.
Just to jump sequence, just in case we go over five and he's got to bugger off. Greeny, would you like to do yours next?
Yeah.
And then you can just slip away quietly.
It's called, is it called File Juicer, I think it's called? Not File Juicer.
File Juicer.
Yeah, no, it is File Juicer, yeah.
File Juicer, right.
Yeah, so back in the day when somebody sent you like a pages file or something like that, you could do a right-click and show package contents. Well, that's been taken away, and you used to do the old show package contents, so you could sort of grab the images out of it or whatever's in there. But that's over recent years, that sort of functionality has been taken away. And what File Juicer does is you can drag your Word document into it, or a spreadsheet, or a page document, or pretty much anything you want. You drop it into it, and it extracts all the images and all the juicy parts out of the file for your use in a website or whatever you want to use them. Presentation.
Oh, that's pretty good.
It's very good. It's about £10. It's quite expensive, but very, very worthwhile.
Good pick. Good pick there. Thank you very much. Kelly, what do you have for us?
Okay, mine is a hardware pick, and it is this little dealie that I got yesterday, and it's called a Mobi, and what it is it's an induction charger for your Bluetooth devices, like your keyboard or your Magic Trackpad. My Magic Trackpad is charging right now, so when you have the dealie, yes, when you have it screwed in, you get one of these. So you, instead of being flat down the side, you get the little nub in there. And then when you need to charge it, you plug it into this. And it just slides right in here. And then the light blinks to tell you that it's charging or fully charged. And it's micro USB, which is a cable I already have. And that's it.
Cool. And they're not cheap.
Well, I got mine on a Groupon. So they were the price I got two of them, one for each. And it was $17 a piece.
I think Groupon are being investigated by the EU at the minute in the over here. So
maybe
I may have that wrong. Groupon, I'm sorry if I do, but I think I've got it right.
It's entirely possible. But the things that I liked about it were all really nice. This is not my primary keyboard, so I forget to charge it a lot. So having this as an option is a really good way to go for me. And also to have the nice little battery on my trackpad is super handy as well. So.
Word of warning, though, if you've got one of these and it's older than about a year and a half or so, be careful, because this is the one with three.
Oh, yeah.
This is the one with three batteries in it, and the Groupon, the Mobi thing only, Groupon, the Mobi thing only works with the two battery one. So you need to go and buy yourself a new keyboard like I've had to. Bugger.
Yeah. And I also want to give a bonus pick for, I want to give a bonus shout out to MacSales.com, Otherworld Computing. I bought a bunch of stuff from them to upgrade my computer yesterday, and it came yesterday, and now my computer's all upgraded. I took out the optical drive and put my rotational drive in the optical drive spot and added a new SSD, and my computer is much snappier and much happier now. So,
totally good.
Thanks to those guys.
Mr. Swagger, what do you have?
I have a app pick browser this week. I'm kind of getting sick and tired of that I can't see some flash on the iPad, so I broke down. I bought an app. I know. It's freaking amazing. It was on sale. normally $10. It's on sale for $4.99 in the App Store. It's the Photon, I believe is what it's called.
Right.
Flash player, video player, browser. And as you can clearly see, you can even watch the British Tech Network
live. Oh, that's worth knowing. Worth knowing. Now, the Chrome application will play Flash content as well. I don't know if it codes it on the fly or what, but it definitely goes to Flash-oriented sites and plays them.
Okay, well, thank you for telling me that now.
And that's free.
$5.
Sorry, dude. Now, Photon's a good one. It's good if it plays us as well.
It is. Actually, another thing, too, if people are Facebook junkies with their games and stuff, you can also use the games on there, too. So there you go.
Yeah, excellent. Good pick. Like that one. My pick is Flickin' Amazing. And that's the title of it. It's a new application that's out today. It's $4. It's £4.99. Sorry, £1.99. So that'll be about $3, I think, or $2.99 in the US store. It is absolutely beautiful. It's been completely designed so that it can the Retina display on the iPad, and it effectively just lets you have access. And just, you know, I'm just ready. Look, it's got downloading on it. Bastard. Here we go. So basically, it lets you play all of the photos that you've got in your Flickr stream at full screen, and they've been reworked. Change that thing. Then if they've been reworked, one with green on it. They've been reworked so that you can.
Oh man, I didn't know you had photos of me on your iPad.
Yeah, that's there we go. They've been reworked so that the resolution is stunning with the iPad, and it really is. The pictures are just unbelievable. And if you tap on it, it'll give you the keywords that they've used, and also you can look at the settings that the camera option was on. So it'll tell you the f-stop that the photographer used and all that kind of stuff. But the app, the pictures on here, it really just doesn't do it justice doing it this way. But you can see there, that's a decent level image. The resolution's superb, and they're really, really well worth it. And apparently Kirsty and Paul are getting married tomorrow. That's what that says. I'm not invited, so I don't know why I've got it as a reminder.
A lot of those still wildlife photos, they're dead, aren't they?
The animals are dead?
Yeah, the animals are dead. When you see...
Is that a thread? Is that a threat? I'm calling you out, Park Squirrel! Stolen nuts from the wrong tourist! You made a powerful enemy tonight, Mr. Nippy.
It's true. There was a photo competition, and it was a wolf or something jumping over a fence or something like that, and they were disqualified because they found out it was a dead wolf.
Is that wolf dead?
It wasn't a dead wolf.
It's a non-wolf.
It was like a stunt wolf. They actually hired a wolf to come in and like jump the fence.
Yeah.
How do they do the birds?
They shot it later, because otherwise, I mean, they wouldn't be able to go out to dinner afterward. But while the wolf was jumping the fence, he was still alive.
Well, I'm pretty sure some of these are moving, Greeny. It just taught me, I'm an old-fashioned photographer, and the blur on them looks like it's not been put on afterwards with Photoshop.
That's it. That owl he's got, look for the strings on him.
The owl, yeah.
You know what
strings.
I mean?
I'll blow them up later in Photoshop.
Have a look.
That dog there that's cocking its head to one side, it doesn't look like it's stuffed. There we go. Maybe it's
pretty
true.
Good, the old taxidermist.
They're nice looking photos regardless. You want to go and believe that's up to you. Right. Where can we get a hold of you? Mr. McAllister.
Right. The usual places over at screencastonline.com for my weekly video tutorials. Oh, and good news this week in that finally, at last, Apple have put all my apps back on the app. We've got a full...
Right. Start again, because Greeny cut you out.
I put my thing on mute so I could have a cough.
No, it didn't work, mate. No. Right, everybody, go on. Finally.
It's just the SEO Tutor apps are now back on the App Store. Apple finally put them all back on. So we've got a full complement of apps now on the Mac App Store and also on the iTunes App Store as well. So,
did you win an appeal of some description, or is
I jumped through all sorts of hoops. Well, we wrote the applications. I had to appeal against it, and then they got bounced, and... they've been rejected about 6 times in the past 3 months, but finally, the last time I put them through, because they were withdrawn from sale, so they had something special to get them back on, and they didn't do it right in the first time, and so they got rejected about 3 times after. So it's been a real roller coaster, but finally everything's sorted out, everything's in place, and they're back in there.
Truth and justice, mate.
Now we know why MAP sucks, because they've been concentrating on getting Don's apps back in the store.
I don't know why. I bloody should. Mr. Inatko, where can we get you, mate?
If you can spell my last name, go to inatko.com. That's my blog, and it has links to like my Twitter stream and my Flickr stream and all kinds of other cool stuff. If you can't spell my last name, go to cwob.com for the Celestial Waste of Bandwidth. And you can find me several times a week in the Chicago Sun-Times site at suntimes.com.
Well worth a read.
Thank you.
Miss Kelly Gimont, where are you?
You can find me on tuaw.com, where I host the podcast and occasionally host the live video show on Wednesdays. You can hear me on the Angry Mac Bastards podcast. You can find me here sometimes, and I write for tuaw.com, and I'm on Twitter as Verso.
Thank you. Greeny, where are you, sir?
BritishMac.com.
Excellent. Doing an episode soon, or?
You know what? I'm going to try and get it out Sunday. Because I have complaints, you know. I don't know why people miss it. They seem to.
Because you don't do it.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry, it's kind of obvious to the rest
of
us.
I know. It's but I will. I miss doing it, to be honest with you. So I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully this weekend. But you know what it's like. I'm working my balls off at the moment in the week and stuff.
You have my empathy, mate, because I know what it's like. I'm struggling to keep up.
And we've both got young children as well. And so they sort of sap your energy throughout the night and don't go to bed at 9 o'clock, even when you want them to or something like that. They start crying in the middle of the night because they got colds and things. It's harsh, isn't it?
Apparently, mine aren't young anymore. They grew up while I wasn't watching.
Is that right? They look pretty young to me.
Mr. Swagger, where are you, mate?
KyleSwagger.com or follow me on Google Plus. Screw Twitter.
Why are you up with Twitter? What's going on?
I don't know. I haven't even been on Twitter for the last... It's just getting under my skin with screwing over these developers and everything.
So okay.
I'm boycotting it for a while.
Okay. We'll see you back there in a week.
We can shove their API right up the you-know-what.
Okay, fair enough. I'm Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter, EwanRankin. And we'll be back next week with the Mac Show, as normal. I don't think there's a reason why we can't.